then, you know, sometimes we can take the ultra-conservatives and we can begin to feel some resentment in our hearts and lives towards them and said, I just wish that they would just get their act together. I'd like to just pull a few kinks out of their tails. And they sure do turn me off. Do you know what God told me? I read a book on forgiveness. And I'm still working on it. But is there ever any time, any place for resentment in my heart and yours towards anyone, any circumstances, or anything? And God showed me, though I had love for those that had gone worldly and I wanted to win them back into God, and maybe those that took a more conservative style in their dress style and in their attitude of the style of preaching and so on, thought, boy, they sure need to be straightened out. Maybe I can be a help to them someday. And no, it wasn't long until God showed me that you better be careful, because there can become some resentment and reactionary actions in your heart and life that you'll never be able to help those people to see that the balanced way of holiness is the right way to go. And I want to tell you, we live in a tough environment, but God can help us to triumph in a tough environment. And God is concerned where you're at and whether you're dealing with the liberal side or the ultra-conservative side. We find God wants a transformation to be done in your heart and mind, that we live more and more like Jesus. And let them know that this is the way. Walk ye in it. Love is the key to good relationships. Love expressed from the shepherd and experienced by the flock is the link that connects leaders to their constituents. We find this morning that the main thing in ministry that we need a transformation in, and that is we need a transformation in our passion and in our purpose of existence.
Yeah, right.
That we just don't play church and just go through the mechanical things of being a minister and being a pastor, and it just become mundane. But we find, I believe, that focus on the family, on the pastor-to-pastor tapes. I listened here some time ago, and they said the main thing that's missing in church work is passion. And pastors this morning, if we have a passion for God and a passion for the work and a passion for His will and a passion for the way, it will become contagious and it'll become light in our people's faces, and the work of God will go forward and we'll begin to see a transformation at Raccoon Holler and Possum Valley. Hallelujah this morning. And that God would fire up, we need to study and be professionally prepared and intellectually prepared. That, friends, if we do it just with the tin and the tinsel, with no passion and no purpose and no fervency, it's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And we are just an actor, just like down at the first such and such church. Passion and purpose. I'd like to ask you a few questions this morning to stimulate us, that God will help us in a special way. I've brought a lot of newspapers with me this morning, but I'm not going to read them all to you. In this one here, Dr. Billy Graham's daughter-in-law said, she's beginning now to be more in the limelight, is in the Birmingham News, said, we are dwelling and living in the midst of drawers, spiritual drawers. And it's time we arise to become spiritual giants. And brethren, not to be spiritual proud, but I feel like God wants to take us as ministers this new conference year to a depth and a height of more profound maturity and spiritual strength and spiritual growth. And it's easy for us to blend in, not worldly wise, but just blend in with what's popular round about us. And so I ask us this morning three things. Are we task-driven this morning? Are we driven just by trends? Or did we come to this ministerial institute just caught up into an employee mode? They voted me back in last year, and my check's still coming in. Someone else that's here this morning, they call it preacher welfare mentality. I'm not telling you what his initials are, but he's not far from me. I tend to believe with him. And so I ask us this morning that God would do a transform if we want our people to be transformed. They're going to have to see it through you and I that we're just not task-driven and that we're just not driven by a new trend that come down the pike. It's kind of like our kids here at the Christian Day School. When the teachers go off to a teacher's convention, the kids say, well, I wonder what they're going to try on us when they come back. As Brother Duane was saying about the morning worship service, our people can tell when we come to the pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if we're caught in an employing mode, or we come with expectation that God's going to work through me today. Amen. That by the help of God, I'm going to bring light to the face of my people. I'm going to bring healing and help and deliverance. I have a message to proclaim. I have a story to tell. I have a healing balm to give. I'm excited to see what change I'm going to bring in the boys and girls and men and women of my generation and of my congregation. Well, glory be to Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, do all in the name of Jesus. And another scripture, it says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Your people and my people, they can tell if we got our heart in this or not. Went down to Birmingham, and I like Caprices, and you know that, and I like to ride in them, but like the gas mileage they get. Sometimes that thing I got out there now, I don't like the shape of it. Looks like an upside-down bathtub with wheels underneath it. But nevertheless, it gets me to where I'm going, and I was looking in the Birmingham News, and I found a Caprice, and I went down to a big parking lot and looked at a man's Caprice, and he wanted too much for it. But all of a sudden he says, what do you do? And I begin to tell him. And all of a sudden he said, hey, he said, you know what? Sir, he said, you act like you love what you're doing. I said, I do. He said, well, what else do you do? And I told him about missions. I told him all about Bible Methodist. And Brother Vern, come to find out, he just resigned as the Baptist Sunday school teacher to a teenage class over there at Shades Mountain, big old Baptist church. He said, you know what? He said, I probably shouldn't resign. I said, no, you shouldn't. I said, you know what you need to do? I said, you need to go back to that church. And I said, you need to ask the pastor to forgive you and get back in that church to start teaching those kids and get excited like I am in God's Word. I said, what's your address? And I'll send you a Bible Methodist paper. He said, I'm interested in that. And I said, well, I am too. And I sneeze on all of you this morning. You catch the same disease.